All right. We're cruising along. It is a brand new day. It is a brand new week. It is a brand new year for us. We appreciate Bill Shanahan joining us from the Blowfish. And now we're happy to turn our attention for the first time in 2023 to the positive points on aging. And with that, we want to welcome back in from Oak Leaf Village in Lexington, our dear friend, Marcia Clayman, who joins us here in studio. And we're glad to have you back, and happy new year to you, and happy to see you.
Happy new year.
How's everything going?
I love a new year. You know, it's like a fresh chapter. You just, you know, yesterday I was working on my planner and I was putting all this stuff in, and I was like, it's just a good feeling to start fresh.
Yeah, clean calendar. You start filling it up with things and all of a sudden you realize I'm pretty busy still. So yeah. Well, I'm glad to have you. Sorry Brian's not here, but you know, he's dealing with the COVID. Hopefully he'll be back with us by this time next week. I really don't know what to expect. Once you become a member of the club, just see how you respond to it.
Well, I don't know what it is about Lexington County, but we're in the red zone. And, I mean, they're really pushing us to wear the mask and the shields again, which I'm okay with that because I work with seniors.
Yeah. And well, that's, I mean, you have to be so protective of the folks that you're with. Obviously, your clientele are very susceptible. And so whatever it takes to protect them, you have to do whatever it takes.
And, you know, you're talking about being a member of the club, the COVID club. There's so many clubs that we can be members of. And I'm a member of one, and you're a member of one, too, Kevin. And, you know, when we love and live with someone that's got a chronic illness such as dementia, and then we lose them, you know, it takes us a while to get through that. But I'm telling you, you then become a teacher to so many people, because if they know that you've walked in those shoes, then they can believe what you're saying to them. You know, it's not like you're just reading every book there is.
Right.
You lived it. You watched it. You suffered through it. And now is the time, and this is what I say every year, especially around the Alzheimer's Walk. I know that it's a tough journey. I know that it's a painful journey. It's a long journey, and you grieve a lot earlier than most people would if their loved one passed away. But you don't give up. You don't stop, you know, bringing awareness to it, because it's these people that have the experience of living and loving and losing someone. You have to be able to keep their memories alive so that you can bring awareness for people to understand what is dementia, how it affects the whole family, not just you.
Sure.
So what I wanted to talk today is called Watch Your Mouth.
Watch your mouth.
How many times growing up did you get that? Sometimes I got a slap in the face after I said something like, watch your mouth. But anyway.
I usually got the soap in the mouth threat.
I never got the soap in the mouth, but I got the slap, so I learned easily. That's why I have these wonderful dimples on the sides of my face. No, but, you know, a poor choice of language can be hurtful and frustrating for just you and I sitting here talking the
sure.
way if I said something to you in the bad tone, or I'm looking at you the wrong way while I'm saying it. Now imagine if you're someone that has dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Language and communication becomes so much more difficult. And then what happens is that, you know, dementia goes through different stages. There's 7 stages. There could be 14 stages, but there's a main 7 stages. And, you know, unless you really know what stage they're in, you really have to take it with a grain of salt that they have dementia, and you have to be so careful in the way that you use your words. Words are difficult to recall. You know, it's very difficult when you're talking with someone with dementia and they're trying to get a word out and it's just not coming. And you can sit there and play the name game. And it becomes very frustrating. It becomes frustrating for us. You know, how many times lately have you thought of a word or somebody, a famous person, and you'll go straight to Google and figure it out before you continue on because it bothers you.
Yeah.
Because you want to know. But we've also got to be very sensitive to the sound of our voices, our body language, and the words that we're using. I'm not going to list a vocabulary of words because what I want to do is I want to talk phrases with you and how to say things and how not to say things and express them better so that person living with dementia doesn't put up an automatic wall. The number one no-no phrase I'm going to begin with, and I can't emphasize it enough. Please, please stop using this. Ready? Mom, remember when? Okay, the word are is a bad word.
Sure.
They don't sometimes even know what the word remember is. It's just kind of, it's out of their vocabulary. This can be so painful and hurtful because a dementia patient is feeling frustrated that they can't remember or they don't know what the word remember means. So their processing is just all jumbled up. And sometimes, and I've seen this happen, and I'll give you an example. There was a family that came to visit someone. This was not at Oakleaf. This was at another place. And cousin Karen, I'll use Karen's name, she came to visit her cousin, who she had not seen in years and wanted to see her, okay? Sure. And I'm listening to this conversation. And she said, "Don't you know who I am? Don't you remember this? Don't you remember that?" And finally, I had to kind of pull her aside and go, "Please don't use the word remember. It's really putting a wall up. As you notice, she's not answering you."
Right.
So we have to be so careful when we use the word remember.
And I think it's important also to realize this isn't maliciously being done. People aren't saying that to be mean.
No.
They just don't realize that is a word, for example, remember, that instantly is a kick to everybody about how bad the situation is.
Well, and the word remember is not, it's not a bad word for us to think it's always negative. Remembering means that we've got these memories that are special to us, and sometimes they're painful to us. But just the word remember is a tough word for someone to process with dementia. This is what I want you to try. Instead of using the word remember, saying, "Don't you remember?" you can say, "I remember when we used to go to the lakes up in Michigan." That type of thing.
Sure.
You put it back on yourself. "I'm remembering," and then you're talking about how cool the water was or, the river rocks or whatever. But you just don't put them on the spot and say, "Remember." And it's a hard thing. If you try, if you'll catch yourself, because I had to catch myself all the time, being in the business, knowing that it was not the word to use, and constantly with my mother, I would go, and then I'd have to redirect my own.
You have to retrain yourself.
Yes. So just be careful when doing that. Okay, the second no-no phrase. "I've already told you that 100 times. Or you've repeated that 100 times. The person that that says that, I know it's frustrating. But, the person with dementia, often their short-term memory is very weak or it's gone. So they think that the first time they're asking is that time. They've lost the concept
exactly.
of how many times. So what do you do? I want you to be the sound effect for this.
Sure.
Take a deep breath. And then you lead in with an easy remark and try to redirect them to get off of that repetitious cycle. Give me an example. See if you can think of something really quick.
I'm not sure what you mean.
When I've said, if I'm saying something over and over and
right.
over again, how are you going to redirect me? I'm looking at something right now that you could redirect really easily.
I don't know what you mean.
All right.
All right, so
you're in the living room.
We're doing a role play here?
Yes, we're doing role play. Yes,
Mr.
Beauty and the Beast.
Okay. We're doing role play. And she or he says something for the seventh time.
When are we going to the store?
Okay. So you.
When are we going to the store?
You're saying, how would I react to that?
Yeah, I've said it 20 times already.
I would just answer it the seventh time.
You would keep answering?
Yeah, I would just. I mean, if I understand the situation, I would just. I might bite my lip while I'm saying it. We're going to go to the store in about an hour. But I mean, I'm not going to do anything that's going to show any sign that you've done something wrong, because if
right.
you understand the disease, then you understand the circumstances.
But because you've lived it, you've learned it, okay?
Right.
These are
that.
People that are
you're
still.
Absolutely, who are first encounters or,
right.
or second and just haven't understood what you're trying to teach today. I get that.
And when I talk about redirecting, point to something like this and
okay.
say, "Let's talk about this."
Okay, redirect
okay.
something else. All right, I'm going to redirect us into the Fox Business Report. We'll come right back.
Mornings with Kev. Giovanni, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stock futures are riding higher this morning. Dow futures are up 332 points. The Nasdaq's up 122. The S&P 500 futures are 41 points higher. Twitter's being sued over failure to pay the rent for space in a San Francisco office building. The suit, filed in California Superior Court, alleges breach of contract. The landlord, Columbia Right 650, alleges the social media giant owes more than $136,000 in back rent. Twitter has yet to comment. And more employers are ordering their workers to get back to the office. The Wall Street Journal reporting that investment giant The Vanguard Group and workplace tech company Paycom Software are pushing staffers to return to their desks on required days or face termination. Business news twice an hour on Fox News Headlines 24/7. I'm Karen McHugh.
President Trump has announced, and Ron DeSantis is rising fast. Who do you support for 2024? Newsmax wants to know what you think. Vote in the Newsmax poll. Just text the word RESPOND to 39747. That's RESPOND to 39747. It takes just seconds. Text RESPOND to 39747. Let your voice be heard and watch Newsmax today.
Texting enrolls for automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Loyalty is an important quality, but it's not a given. It's earned. Shooter's Choice has earned the loyalty of people around the Midlands because they have great customer service, tremendous selection, and they've been the local guys for more than 30 years. And that should matter to you. If you're looking for the right firearm, ammo, AR accessories, even a gun safe, visit the folks at Shooter's Choice on Sunset Boulevard in West Columbia. This is where you'll find the experts, the folks that actually shoot, they hunt, or visit a big box store where you'll never see the same person twice, where their only expertise comes from watching some YouTube video. Shooter's Choice has the top brands. They offer classes to make sure you develop proper safety technique and skills. Most of all, they offer the best quality products at fair prices sold by good local people. If you can't make it to the store, you can visit online, shooterschoicesc.com. They're also on Facebook and Instagram, or they're waiting for you at 944 Sunset Boulevard in West Columbia. Make it your first choice, your best choice. Make it Shooter's Choice.
Hey, this is Ray.
And Mary Ann with Absolute Glass.
We've been blessed to serve the Midlands glass needs for 20 years.
We have been fortunate enough to help thousands of customers with the best glass service in town, in our store, and all over the Midlands.
Sure, we can fix your windshield, usually at no cost to you.
But at Absolute Glass, we can also care for all your other glass needs too.
Home windows, shower doors, tabletops, shelving, storefronts, and all your commercial needs.
Contact us at 803-951-7200 or at absoluteglassinc.com.
Just remember, if you can see through it, we can do it.
There's a lot of good reasons to choose a particular insurance company, and a lot of not so good reasons. A cute mascot? A funny TV ad? How about a celebrity spokesperson? Probably not. What you should be looking for in your next insurance agency is a trusted advisor who will put your needs first and help you find the best deal on the right coverage. H&H Financial Group is your full-service, local, and independent insurance and financial planning team that will help you understand the reason for insurance, the coverage you need, and will then shop amongst dozens of carriers to find you the best value. For home, auto, life, and business, we'll take the time to understand where you are today and where you'd like to be as you work towards financial freedom. Doing business with H&H also means you'll have full access to the financial services of Fran Halloran, giving you a complete package that you won't find at any other agency in the Midlands. We're ready and willing to earn your business. Are you ready to work with an independent local agency that can cover all of your insurance needs? Call us today at 803-850-0054.
Don't hurt people, don't take their stuff. Hey, Point listeners, I'm Casey Whitener, and I used to think don't hurt people, don't take their stuff was a basic human value. Then I noticed how many times our government hurts the people it's meant to protect. When I joined the South Carolina Libertarian Party, I met citizens like me who were tired of government violating our rights. I'd like to invite you to join me. On the last Monday of every month, come out to the British Bulldog Pub in Irmo at 6 p.m. to meet me and my fellow libertarians. Mention you heard this invite on The Point, and I'll buy you a pint. Learn more at sclp.org.
Point A to Point B. Traffic.
Brought to you by AARP South Carolina. clearing accidents first heading onto Two Notch Road. That one's near that intersection of Park Lane. Have an accident still working Decker Boulevard at Ranch Road. Broad River Road, you're slow at Kennerly Road. Lexington County, Corley Mill, closer to River Chase Way. Assurance Financial. Need a home loan? Then work with a lender who is a proud partner with Gamecock Athletics. With Assurance Financial, you can apply online in less time than halftime. AssuranceMortgage.com. I'm Sarah Parker on The Point.
Point A to Point B traffic. Four times an hour, mornings and afternoons on The Point.
Back to the Park Fireside Studios. It's Mornings with Kev and Brian.
Well, today it's not Kevin Brian, it's Kevin Marsha. Because Marsha Clayman's here with us from over at Oakley Village. It's our Positive Points on Aging. Brian is out nursing himself back to good health, we hope, with COVID. So he's now officially a member of the COVID club. Meanwhile, I'm happy to have my friend Marsha with me and wishing everybody a happy new year. Glad you're with us. Eric and John coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll look forward to hanging out with those folks in just a little while. First things first, though, we want to get back to what we were talking about. We're talking about the words you don't feel are the right words to be using when we're talking about Alzheimer's and dementia and some of the things you just don't want to be saying that really can only take a situation and make it bad.
Earlier, we talked about the phrase, the no-no phrase about remembering, you know, remember when. The other one was, you know, you've already told me that already or you've asked me 100 times. And so the next one, this one is a very sensitive one. This woman's husband died 5 years ago, and then all of a sudden she pops up and says, "Where's your father?"
Right.
And that will catch you off guard, and then you better know what to say, because if you start out saying, "Mom, Dad died 5 years ago," you're going to get this look, and then you're going to watch her fall apart. She'll become emotionally, again, as if she just heard for the first time that she lost her husband. And this can go on and on and on. And it's really sad. I mean, I have seen it happen. And what you have to do, folks, this is when the therapeutic fibbing is something that is allowed. I promise you God forgives us for this, because what we're doing is when we're doing therapeutic fibbing, we are protecting our loved one from further emotional pain. And what I mean by that is when if my mother were to walk through the house and say, "Where's your father?" knowing that he's passed away, I would say, "You know, Mom, I think he went to Lowe's. You know, he had some things he needed to pick up. He'll be back in a while." Your language has to become very vague when it comes to times, because sometimes they will track those times. It'll be like, "He'll be back at 4 o'clock. Don't say 4 o'clock. Say, "He'll be back in a while." Mm-hmm. And so, we've actually used this with a woman. We told her that her husband had been sent to the VA hospital because he needed to have his annual test run, and he would be back in a couple of days. And she bought that.
Right.
And that would calm her down, because it wasn't like, "I've lost him." It's like he's coming back, and then she'd forget about it. So be very careful when they ask you that question about someone that has died, that you handle it in a way that will not cause the emotion to all of a sudden start being active again, and they're crying, and they become very depressed.
You know, you're going to have to deal with what you talked about at the very onset of this part of the discussion, which is picking your poison. What's worse? You say, "Well, I should never lie to my mom or to my dad. I'm not going to lie to them." Well, what's worse? Mm-hmm. Are you doing this for their protection or your protection? Because if you're doing it to protect them, then do you really want to tell your mom that your father died 5 years ago and have to deal with what's going to happen after that happens? After she realizes, and maybe she's hearing it in her mind for the first time, do you want to deal with that fallout, or do you want to deal with the potential of what you said? You know places that your father used to go. Oh, he went to the store to pick up a few things. Not sure when he'll be back, but he'll be back in a little while.
Or even things like he went to play golf. You know, golf can be an all-day thing.
Sure,
so,
sure.
You know, he's playing golf. But I listened to a podcast yesterday, and it was all about this therapeutic fibbing, because what you've got to realize is that, yes, it is a little white lie, but you are protecting that person from emotional pain that they're going to have over and over again, just like the ask questions 100 times.
Sure.
You don't want to be answering, where's your father? Where's your father? Because it's hurting you too. And then you're going to start getting angry. Another thing is that you have to be careful asking open-ended questions like, what did you eat for breakfast this morning? Many people can't remember.
Sure.
What did you do this morning? You know, and they're looking at you like, well, I don't know. You know, and it's hard for them because they'll start stumbling around and trying to figure out what to say, and they can't. And so it gets very frustrated for them. What you should try to do instead is say, like, show them your cup of coffee and say, how would you like a cup of coffee? Yes, no, you know, how can I fix your coffee? So just redirect like that, so that you don't get them mistaken and or get them frustrated. The other one is, don't you recognize me? People need to understand that you should not ask someone with dementia, don't you recognize me, because they probably don't. Or you might be opening up another can of worms. They might think that you're the son, but you're my husband. I mean, it really gets convoluted
sure,
in there.
Sure.
So be very careful about that.
The theme that I'm getting from all of this is, do not try to do things that set you or the person you love up for failure. Is that a fair way?
Right, right.
Because, I mean, if there are things you can avoid to just not, I mean, and it's hard because, well, you just brought up, don't you recognize me? If you walk in to go see a family member and they recognized you perfectly the last time you were there, and then this time they don't, you're the one that's going to have to deal with the shock. And that's hard because it's very hard for you to show your emotions when someone you love that has Alzheimer's gets to the point, Marsha, where it finally is that first time where they don't recognize you. That's a horrible experience.
It is the most painful experience, and it is. I went through that with my mother, and this is what I did. Took a deep breath. You learn how to take some really good deep breaths.
Sure.
And because she always would introduce me to her friends or anybody else as, this is my baby daughter, Marsha, even though I'm, you know,
of course,
not a baby anymore, but to her, I was her baby daughter. So that's how I would say, Mom, I'm your baby daughter, Marsha. And so I would use my name and tell her who I was and what she could, if she could remember that baby daughter. That was putting that connection there.
It's a great way of doing it, yeah.
The next thing is, I'm going to do this real quick because we got just a few minutes. Okay. I'm going to take a deep breath before I do this sentence. Okay. Let's go have a cup of coffee down that street where those pretty planters and benches are down the sidewalk. And then there's a coffee shop with the best cinnamon buns that hopefully will be freshly cooked. And then afterwards, we'll walk downtown and we'll have the best tuna salad. And then they have wonderful, blah, 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 blah. You see,
sure.
What did I just do?
Right. You just, that's a lot for the plate.
It's really a diarrhea of the mouth. And they all they're going to hear is, they're not going to hear it.
It sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher.
So you need to use short, simple sentences. Avoid speaking in rushed or a loud environment. Speak directly to them and slowly and clearly. The last thing I want to bring up is when you're helping your loved one with daily activities such as dressing, bathing, eating, talk slowly and clearly to that person. Tell them what you are doing, such as, Mom, I need to comb your hair with the brush. Show her the brush,
sure,
okay?
Sure, your visuals.
Or, Mom, I'm going to rub some lotion on your legs. Or, Mom, I know you're going to like these green beans. You see what I'm saying? In short sentences,
sure,
to where you're just making a point of, let's sit down here on the couch. Let's look at the photo book. Let's put our shoes on and go for a short walk. Yes, it sounds very elementary, but don't treat your loved one like a young child and start snapping their jackets together and yanking their socks up and not talking to them. You have to walk them through the process so that that helps them to understand what you're doing, and it's done in a loving manner. So by closing, I want you to remember this. Please try very hard to not use the word remember when someone living with dementia. You can talk about memories, but don't create a wall to shut down, because that word remember can sometimes create a feeling of mental debilitating. So be kind with your words, be patient, and just love them.
Deep breaths.
Deep
How do people find you if they want to find you at Oakleaf?
Call me at 803-808-3477 or oakleafvillagelexington.com. Or you can come by and see Karen and I, 800 North Lake Drive in Lexington. We'd love to show you around.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it very much. Thanks for listening in on The Point. See you this afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Mornings with Kev.
WQXL Columbia, W264DF.
From the BART Fireside Studio, the solution for keeping you warm this winter.
This is 107 The Point.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. The new Republican